This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome you to Noble Quran Stories. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we've covered Adam alayhi salam and his creation. We learned about the reaction of Iblis. We learned about Adam alayhi salam being taught the names of all matters. We learned about Adam alayhi salam and the creation of his partner Hawa. We learned about Adam alayhi salam and the eating from the forbidden tree. Allahu musta'an. How many times mentioned in the Noble Quran? 25 times. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we also covered that tension between the creation of Adam alayhi salam and the theory of human evolution. Is there a tension? Yes, there is a tension. What's the issue? What's the problem? Well, if one believes in human evolution, then technically what happens to all of the verses of the Noble Quran, explicit verses, and the explicit ahadith which state that Adam was special, created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created by Allah's own hands, that Adam alayhi salam was put on earth. Adam alayhi salam had no father. Adam had no mother. Adam alayhi salam didn't come out of the womb of any species, etc., etc. So this is the tension. We found that some ulama, some individuals, they have totally accepted human evolution. And what do they do with all of these verses and these ahadith? Well, they state these are but symbols. These are metaphors. These verses are allegorical. If we go down that route, then technically a lot of the Quran, one can argue, well, technically these are all metaphors, these are symbols. Allah musta'an. The default is that we accept it at face value until proven otherwise. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, in this majlis we move on our discussion to Adam alayhi salam and the great covenant. Something that we were also present for, subhanallah. In what form? In probably our soul forms. Allah musta'an. When did this great covenant take place? Some ulama state that before Adam alayhi salam was put into paradise. Others said no, rather after he was removed. Where did it take place? Some mention in Jannah, some mention that when he was put on earth. And then when they discuss where on earth, some mention that rather this took place at the area of Arafat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. These matters are not too important, not too critical. What is the great mithaq or the great covenant? Then this is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, verses 172. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ. And make mention, remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken from the children of Adam. We are all the children of Adam. Adam is our father, Abu al-Bashar, the father of mankind. So here, this wasn't just taken from Adam alayhi salam, this pledge or this covenant. Rather, was taken from all of mankind until Yom Al-Qiyamah, until the final day. Whoever is going to be, well, they were present there. Min zuhurihim, from the loins of Adam alayhi salam, all of his progeny until the final day. ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, that all of his progeny, and they were made to testify. Testify with regards to what? وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, testify against themselves with regards to what matter? أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not you people's Lord? Am I not your Rabb? Allah asked this question to all of us, to our father Adam and everyone after Adam. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not you people's Rabb? How did we respond? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا, that we responded, yes, you are our Rabb. شَهِدْنَا, we have testified to your oneness. We have testified that you are our Rabb. And why did this take place? أَنْ تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ, so that on يوم القيامة, none of us would be able to say, well, we were unaware of this matter. We didn't know about this matter. We didn't recognize that you were our Rabb, etc. So to remove the excuse, this ahd of alast, as it's called, or the mithaq, or as some call it, يوم alast, the day of alast, our heavenly promise or our heavenly covenant with our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in summary, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took out the progeny of Adam alayhi salam, everyone until the final day, in their soul forms, all of us. And Allah asked, am I not you people's Lord? And we said, yes. So that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, we wouldn't have any excuse. Walhamdulillah. Now when we discuss the mithaq, we have to then touch upon the topic of the fitrah. What is is the fitra, our natural inclination, our primordial nature, the innate recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His oneness. We find that some ulama state that this fitra that we have built within ourselves, that this fitra here, it is a result of the mithaq. And so it's because of this covenant that we made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the traces, one of the results, one of the imprints of that mithaq is that we have a fitra within ourselves. So technically the fitra is the result of the mithaq. That is an opinion of some ulama. Others say no, rather it's the opposite. Rather the fitra was ingrained within us even before the mithaq. And that's why when Allah asked us, who is your Rabb, based upon the fitra which was in us, we answered and we recognized that Allah is our Rabb. Had we not had that fitra, we wouldn't have given that answer. So the fitra was there first, and thus we passed the test in the mithaq. And they also mention, like when Adam alayhi salam, when he was created, the first thing he said was Alhamdulillah. This is in the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, authentic hadith. He said Alhamdulillah. How did he know? Where did he get this from? This was based upon the fitra which was ingrained within him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Nonetheless, either way, this fitra here, what is this fitra and why is it so important? Why is it extremely important? Well, as some have mentioned, it's like our default factory settings. When we were created, this is like our default factory settings, that it is something that which is imprinted within our souls. It's our internal compass, if you may. And we all have this equally. This is unlike our rational faculty, our understanding, our intellect. Here people differ. There are different grades amongst people. Whereas when it comes to the fitra, then everyone has the fitra on an equal footing. And based upon this fitra, we know and we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb. We know via this fitra that Allah is our Rabb, that we have this religiosity built within ourselves. It's hardwired within ourselves. As has been mentioned, that if we look at the nations of the past, wherever around the globe, you find people who lived thousands and thousands of years ago, you would never ever find a society, a community that were atheist. Rather, they would have definitely have a place of worship, whatever type of worship it might have been. But religiosity was hardwired into them, like part and parcel of their DNA. And via this fitra, we also recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our ilah. He is deserving of our worship. Via this fitra, we understand morality, that we know good from bad, we know right from wrong, we know that justice, and we love justice as opposed to injustice. We have this consciousness, we have a conscience. We know that when we do something wrong, we feel the sense of guilt. Where's all this coming from? If, for example, we are just molecules, then one shouldn't feel anything of guilt. One shouldn't have this moral compass. Where's it coming from? Obviously, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have purpose, we have reason. We find the famous hadith of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ, that every newborn kid is born upon the fitra. فَأَبَوَى يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. And then the parents, they turn the kid into a Jew or they turn the kid into a Zoroastrian. Take note, the hadith didn't say that you are born upon Islam. Hadith mentions you are born upon the fitra. Every kid is born upon the fitra, upon the natural disposition, upon this inclination towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not born upon Islam or as a Muslim, no, but they are born upon the fitra. And this fitra, if it is pure, then it will guide them to al-Islam, walhamdulillah. We find that many people, they might be upon the fitra, but they might not necessarily be Muslim. They are upon the fitra, but they're not yet Muslim. Being Muslim is a higher level. This is something that you consciously do. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before prophethood, before the age of 40, he was upon the fitra. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not inclined to any idol worship, etc., etc. His moral compass was guiding him in the right direction. And then eventually Islam came, walhamdulillah. And thus, this person, anyone who has a good fitra, then when Islam is presented, presented to them, the fitrah inclines towards it. And this and the good fitrah and the Islam, they go hand in hand with one another. It's like a glove to the hand. It gels with one another. And the purer your fitrah, the easier it is for you to embrace and accept Islam. As Ibn al-Qayyim has mentioned the example, that the fitrah is like the soil. The fitrah is like the soil, and then Islam is the seed. And when this seed is planted in this soil of fitrah, then it grows and it blossoms. Walhamdulillah. Also take note, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, our sources are generally three. Number one, the fitrah, this ingrained internal compass, this innate nature that we have within ourselves, the fitrah. Then we have the aql, our rational faculties, our intellect, and then wahi, revelation, the Quran and the sunnah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our fitrah and our rationality guides us to accepting the Quran and the sunnah. Based upon our fitrah and based upon our rational faculties, we accept that this Quran and the sunnah, this revelation, it is correct and it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, as we mentioned, the purer your fitrah, the easier it is for you to embrace and accept al-Islam, the easier it is for you to see the truth from that which is false. Well, similarly, the more corrupt and polluted your fitrah is, the harder it is for you to see the truth, the harder it is for you to see that which is correct. The more corrupt and polluted the fitrah is, the more messed up your moral compass will be, and thus you're unable to distinguish right from wrong. How can one awaken this fitrah? How can one awaken the fitrah? Well, via revelation, reading the Quran and the sunnah of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that the fitrah can be awakened. Also via rational arguments, this can awaken the fitrah. Certain emotional experiences can also reawaken the fitrah, and reflection and introspection, these are all part and parcel of ways that one can awaken the fitrah. You are discussing Islam maybe with a non-Muslim, you can use one of these four. We find that either rational arguments is what convinces this person, or for example, reading the Quran and the Sunnah, and they are convinced that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe they go through some emotional experience, reflection, introspection. So whatever works, these are different avenues bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And also based on the fitrah, if somebody asks that, how do you know that Islam is the truth? You are born in a Muslim home, the other one, he is born in a Christian home, somebody down the road is born into a Hindu home. It's just the environment, and each one took a different path. How do you know, and why do you say that you are upon the truth? Do we say to this person, well, technically you are right, and I will need to take a step back, maybe leave the room and examine the room from outside, and I need to examine Christianity and Hinduism and all of this here, keep them all on an equal footing. I need to be a skeptic with regards to what I believe in, and then I need to eventually, after study and investigation, I need to eventually reach yaqeen, and I need to eventually reach iman. So I go from a level of doubt until eventual iman or yaqeen, inshallah. We say no, there's no need for any of that. That type of argument, it ignores the fitrah. It ignores the fitrah. We say rather my fitrah, my internal compass, this is what tells me that what I'm upon, I don't need to doubt my Islam and leave Islam and then investigate everything. No. My internal compass, it tells me that what I am upon is the truth. Walhamdulillah. That woman living in a village somewhere, she doesn't know about this ism or that schism, etc., etc. She's not investigated all the religions of the world. And she says, I believe in Islam and my heart is firm upon Islam, etc. We say, well, Alhamdulillah, that you are a believer. We have no doubt with regards to that matter, that you are upon the way of the fitrah. Alhamdulillah. Maybe somebody cannot even rationally argue why they believe in al-Islam. He said, I just know that it is the truth. I just believe that it is the truth. This is based upon their fitrah. Alhamdulillah. And we also find that Adam alayhi salam, another story with regards to Adam, that when this mithaq was done and all of the progeny of Adam alayhi salam was there in front of him, he noticed that one of them, there was some like brightness in him. So he asked Allah, who is this? What's special about him? This is one of your progeny and his name is Dawood. How long will he live? Such and such number of years. So Adam alayhi salam said, no, rather give him 40 years from my life. remove 40 from my life and give it to him. And the story goes that at the time of Adam's death, when the angel of death came to take his soul, he said, no, but I still have more time. I still have 40 more years. And thus Adam forgot, and thus his progeny, all of us, we also continue to forget. Adam forgot that he had given 40 years of his life to Dawood alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, for more information with regards to matters related to the fitrah and its importance, one can look up the works of Sheikh Yasir Qadi and also the works of Dr. Nazir Khan, insha'Allah. Some lessons that we can extract from this great covenant, the covenant of Mithaq, wherein all of us testify that Allah is our Rabb. Number one, the importance of this covenant, so that on Yawm al-Qiyamah we can't say, well, we didn't know about this matter. Number two, the importance of the fitrah, subhanAllah. It is our internal compass. This fitrah, the purer it is, the easier it will be for you to distinguish right from wrong. And the more polluted it is, the more difficult it would be. And so drowning in sin morning, evening and night, living a life far from the noble Quran, living a life in sin, then this here pollutes the fitrah. Allahu musta'an. Allah grant us clean and pure fitras. Number three, that Adam alayhi salam, he forgot. And all of us, the children of Adam alayhi salam, we also continue to forget. Sometimes people mix up the matter of Adam forgetting here. They think that this was to do with eating from the tree. No. That was a separate matter. And there, technically, that was a sin. Adam alayhi salam fell into a sin. Whereas in this matter here, he forgot. He forgot the number of years given to Dawood alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Until we meet again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.